that I use for my own personal life regularly. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Oh my. Come on, search me, oh God. Come on, search me. You know, try me, you know my thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. Some translations say any ways of pain, things that are hurting you. Says, come on, point it out for me. Point it out, because sometimes we can have these blind spots and we don't see it. Point it out to me, Father, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. So now we're going to be true to ourselves. Here's the first thing, or another thing, second thing you really got to get a hold of. And that is, be courageous to evaluate yourself. Be courageous to evaluate yourself. Now listen, that doesn't mean be hard on yourself. So let's make sure we clear this up. Evaluating ourselves doesn't mean we beat up ourselves. And a lot of times that can easily, you know, become the practice. Like, you know what, I know better. I can't believe I did it. Don't beat yourself up. Evaluation doesn't require you abusing yourself. And it's amazing. We would never stand for someone else abusing us. So don't abuse yourself. Yeah. Evaluation is different. Here's some evaluation questions for you to consider. Matter of fact, you know, before I mention these, I mentioned about, you know, blind spots. You know, in our small group this past week, you know, the subject matter was, who has your back? Because all of us need people in our lives that can see into our blind spots, that can point out some issues that we have, you know, that we may not be paying attention to, that we may not see. We need to have some people in our lives, praise God. And I'm telling you, we had a great time. You know, I know in my small group and different reports I've got from others, it's like, yeah, this was great. We needed this, praise God. Small groups is life-changing. And watch this, and it's not too late to get connected. So you're watching, you're present, get connected in a group. Ask any leader, go to our website, they'd be glad to connect you with one. Now, here's some evaluation questions for you and I. How well do you honor what you already know? So we're talking about here really in our relationship with Almighty God. How well do you honor what you already know? Secondly, how consistent is your declaration of surrender with your expression of surrender? A lot of times people will say, God, I give myself to you. I give myself away. Come on now, we all sing William McDowell's song. And it's good to make that declaration, that particular, you know, declaration of surrender, but how is our expressions of surrender? Meaning, does our life look like we've given ourselves away? If people never heard a word that we said, could they identify us with Christ? How is your self-conscious? Do you find that you regularly violate your own moral boundaries? How do you respond to violating your boundaries? Now, this is real key. How do you respond to that? Do you come back within the boundaries? Or do you expand the boundaries to accommodate your expressions that were violating the previous limits? Unfortunately, a lot of times we can do that. I know I've been guilty of that. You know, where I say, you know what, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. That doesn't, watch this, that just doesn't seem right. Come on, didn't have all this, you know, understanding about scripture or whatever the case. It just didn't seem right. Watch this, it just didn't feel right. I said, so you know what, no, I'm not getting involved with that. So now that was my boundary. But then somebody came along and be like, Crawford, come on, dog. Let's go out and do X, Y, and Z. No, I'm not doing that. Oh, Crawford, come on, man. Let's go ahead and hook up and do such and such. So before you know it, I went ahead and stepped out and did something that went outside of my boundaries. And now watch this. When that happens the first time, an alarm goes off on the inside of you. Woo, woo, woo. What are you doing? What are you doing? And you're like, oh, man, I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be doing this. Now, when we respond, you know, well, we recognize that and we back up and we kind of pull back within our boundaries. But I know I've been guilty of that. That's happened like that. Oh, that alarm went off, you know, and then I kind of backed up so the alarm would go off. And then I went right back out there again. And after a while, the alarm doesn't bother you anymore. The more you do it, then the alarm doesn't bother you. You start to expand the boundaries. Like, oh, well, you know, it is 2021, 2021. We're evaluating ourselves. That's what we're doing. James chapter 4, verse 17 makes this statement. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Sin is not something that, you know, a lot of times likes to be discussed, I think, in even church today, which is very interesting. I submit to you, though, that at the end of the day, you really don't have a sin problem. But when we know to do something that we ought to do and then we don't do it, well, the Word of God is pretty clear. It says that becomes sin unto you. Now, a simple definition, New Testament definition, at least, of sin is to miss the mark. So kind of miss the mark of what God says, you know, is prohibited. But really, the essence of all sin is this thing called idolatry. That's the essence of all sin. It's idolatry. Idolatry is really nothing more than the exalting of and devotion to someone, something, or some idea above that of your devotion to God. That becomes idolatry. It's what, you know, I like to, you know, refer to as misplaced worship. See, we were designed to worship. We were designed to, you know, to bring honor and glory and to magnify and exalt. We were designed to do that. And it was designed to come from us to our good Father. But life comes in on us. And before you know it, you begin to take that heart of worship, that exaltation, and we start putting it towards stuff. We start putting it towards our career. We start putting it towards our money. We start putting it towards other people. We start putting it towards ourselves. Well, we worship us. And that misplaced worship is very, very dangerous. So when we prioritize something that is more important than God, we've misplaced our worship and we have begun the practice of idolatry. Not what God wants for us. If we're going to be true to God, true to others, and true to ourselves, we have to learn how to constantly fight the battle against idolatry. There's things always coming up trying to pull our worship. Always. Always. Notice here, Hebrews chapter 10. For by that one offering, He forever made perfect those who are being made holy. Let me read it to you with this understanding. For by that one offering, which is Jesus, He, our good Father, forever made perfect those who are being made holy. Understand this. You and I, we are not striving to be better, but we are surrendering to go deeper. Don't strive to be better. Learn to surrender so that you can go deeper. Here's a case that because of the offering of the Lord Jesus Christ, God says, I have forever perfected you. Now, I said earlier that, you know, if you're trying to be perfect, you're going to, you know, wind up having a miserable life because trying to do everything error-free, that's just not going to happen. But the reality is the way God has created you, and because of the sacrifice He made on your behalf through the Son Jesus, His Son Jesus, here it is now. He's perfected you. Listen, you are just as perfect as God needs you to be. Go ahead. Now you can turn to your neighbor and say, I'm sitting next to perfection. Oh, y'all didn't say it like you mean it. Come on, right there at home. Tell somebody, say, you are in the presence of perfection. Now, that doesn't mean we're error-free, but that does mean we have embraced God's design for us. Oh, yeah. We're not striving to be better. We're just surrendering to go deeper. Yeah. So look to and trust in what Jesus has done on the cross, across the board, everything. Be consistent, watch this, in your surrender. Don't just surrender with what you presently agree with. You know, a lot of times, you know, people can agree with that. Be like, hey, everybody, you know, say after service, I got $500 for everybody who stays here until noon. Ain't nobody going to have too much problem staying here until noon. Just like, man, I'm telling you, I'm glad I came to this church. Come on, man. Come on, preacher. It's pretty easy to surrender to that because we see the reward. Learn to surrender in those areas where your heart, mind, and body put up the biggest fight. Come on, learn to surrender in those areas. And we all have them. We all have them. There are places in your life and in my life where your heart, your mind, your body put up the biggest fight. Like, I know, but. And after all, praise God, God has graced us, so it's going to be all right even if I do it. Well, you're right, God still loves you. That's not going to change one bit. But you've made a decision that's going to have a ripple effect. And even though God's grace is right there, still sufficient, even though God's love hasn't changed one bit, that decision has created something that's going to produce in your future. Understand this. God pours his goodness on us to inspire us to a true nature. Now, religion makes us think, and you may have thought, and I know I've thought this, that in order to get us to be true to God, true to others, and true to ourselves, God is, you know, putting these restrictions upon us. Do this, don't do that. Have these particular habits that you're doing, so forth. It's kind of a list of things. And if you don't, punishment's going to come to get you in line. But that's not really God's MO in helping you and me to get to our true nature. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Love this part that the Apostle Paul is expressing here. The latter part of the verse says this. Are you unmindful or actually ignorant of the fact that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repent? He says, God says, I'm being good to you, not because you're all of that and perfect, error-free. I'm being good to you because I'm hoping my goodness is going to lead you to repent. Now, repent doesn't mean that you feel bad. That's not repentance. Repentance is just as you see, you know, on the verse in your screen. It's to change your mind and inner person to accept God's will. Change your mind, change your inner person, your mind, your will, your emotions to accept. This is what God says. I embrace it now. Come on, I change my mind in that. Watch this. I track with God. I get into the rhythm of what he says and what he's doing. That's repentance. And God says, I pour out my goodness so that it's going to create, you know, this dynamic in you, hopefully, that you will turn to me and you'll accept my will for your life. God's methodology or approach to helping us to be true to ourselves is to pour out his goodness upon our lives. You and I are blessed not because we do everything perfectly, not because we are so faithful or because we are so strong in faith. Blessing us was God's idea, and he finalized it through Christ. You understand that? Blessing you, blessing me, that was God's idea. It wasn't your idea. It wasn't your idea. You're trying to get God to bless you? Lord, bless me. Lord, if you just bless me. God said, I already did. I already did and do. See, I've already done that. It was my idea. He says, and matter of fact, I was so committed to pouring out my goodness upon you that I finalized it. I marked this goodness being poured out on you permanently through the sacrifice of my son. So that all of your life, you and all could be able to enjoy my goodness. Now that's God's goodness. That's God's heart, praise God. Notice what the word of God says here in Matthew chapter 5. You're familiar with the old written law. Love your friend and its unwritten companion. Hate your enemy. Come on, somebody say, I don't do that. Man, that didn't sound very strong. Somebody say, I don't do that. I'm challenging that, Jesus said. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Come on, love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer. For then you are working out of your, watch this, true selves. Your God-created selves. He says, after all, this is what God does. Now notice this next thing, because we miss this a lot of time. He gives his best blessing, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to who? Everyone. Regardless of whether you think you're good or bad, nice or nasty. God says, this is how I treat all of humanity. I pour out my goodness not based upon what is going on in that individual's life, but because of my decision to love them. And that's why God says, now go ahead, be like your true selves and imitate me by treating people in your lives that you may have considered as an enemy, that now you start praying for them. Now you look for ways to bless them. Religion, again, emphasizes a correlation between obedience and blessing. Now, let's be clear. I don't have time to go into this in detail today. There is some favor tied to our behavior. If there is. But the heart of how God relates to all humanity is not, you know, this correlation between obedience and blessing. But people that hold that mindset, the thinking becomes, if I'm blessed, then I must be sufficiently obedient. And if I'm not blessed, then I must not be sufficiently obedient. We can even begin to think, watch this, that a person doesn't deserve the blessing they're walking in. Because we know that in various crucial areas of their life, they're opposed to God. Come on now, you ever kind of seen that kind of situation? Be like, somebody, this is what religion does. Somebody walks into something, a wide open door that's clearly a blessing. And you're thinking to yourself, now, how come I haven't gotten a door like this? Because I know I'm more holy than them. That's how people think. I go to church every Sunday. They barely show up to church. I serve in the church. They don't serve not one time. See, religion has this correlation here. We can think that God won't bless someone because of their disobedience. And quite frankly, all of this is error. I bet you, if you take some time to evaluate, you can point to some blessing in your life when you knew you was acting a fool. Come over here. Anyone want to agree with me? I mean, well, you walked in some stuff and you were just like, man, watch this. You felt like you didn't deserve it. God says, it's never about what you do or don't do. It's all about my love for you. You are blessed because God loves you. He released his son to pay a price we were incapable of paying so that he could pour out his goodness upon us for all eternity. But that does not mean he's not concerned about our worship. See, a lot of times individuals are like, well, dear God, if God has blessed me, then why do I need to worship him if he's just gonna pour out the blessings? Don't get it twisted now. To think that just because there's this presence of goodness that God's not concerned about your worship. Oh, he definitely is. Don't think because you are experiencing his blessing that he is not mindful of or inconsiderate of our misplaced worship, which is idolatry. He longs for us to get victory over that issue as we return the worship back to him. That's about us, again, being our true selves, being true to us, worshiping him with all of our heart. James chapter 1, verse 17 says this, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or cast a shifting shadow. Watch this. God's not fickle. God's not schizophrenic. God says every good and perfect gift, every good thing you have in your life, you've received that from Almighty God. Now the question, you know, comes, have you acknowledged that and given thanks to the source? Or do you think it's because your degree got that for you? Well, you think it's because your connections got that for you. Or you think it's because, well, my hustle got that for me. I know how to hustle out here. Nah. At the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, it's because of how much your good, good Father loves you. And he's poured out those things on your life and mine. So at the end of the day, God expects the more we experience his goodness, it will cause us to worship him deeper and more fully with our total life. That's what God's looking for. And as we do so, watch this, it's producing something, you know, in us. So you and I, we should expect to experience God's goodness right where we are. Come on, right where we are with whatever issues we may have in our life. Come on, you ought to expect to experience God's goodness. It's okay. Expect to experience God's goodness right there. And enjoy the blessing of God, but don't ignore your worship to him. Make it a point that I will not let my worship become misplaced or distracted. I'm going to stay locked in right here with him. As we do this, it clears up our conscience more and more every single day. And this is the fertile ground now of making quality decisions that gives you the future God desires. When you have that clear conscience, because you're just simply being true to yourself. Because you've embraced what he's done for you, and then you take your worship and you give it to him, the source. Yeah, now when it comes to the little decisions we make today, we're making it, watch this, out of this foundation of I'm true to God, I'm true to others, and I'm true to myself. See, when that is the core, you know, kind of foundation now of your character, then the decisions that you make will come off of that foundation. There will be decisions that honor God, decisions that honor others, decisions that honor you. And it will produce for you a future that honors God, that honors God, others, and that honors you. Come on, lift up your hands with me right there where you are. Father, we bless you and magnify your wonderful name. We are grateful for your wonderful gifts that you've given unto us. We are grateful for your mercy. We're grateful for your grace. We're grateful for your love. We're grateful for your correction. We're grateful for your joy. We're grateful for your peace and your hope. Yeah, in times just like this. So thank you, Lord God, for instructing us all month long about how we can make decisions in our life that bring honor and glory unto you and that produce the future that you've designed for us. Father, we're not going to stress and strive to be better. We're just going to learn how to surrender and trust you deeper. And thank you, Lord God, that as we do, it just brings us into that particular place, Father, of a conscience that is clear, that's void of offense towards you, towards others, and even towards ourselves. So that we can indeed make the decisions that honor and bring glory to you. We worship you and worship you alone, now and forever. In Jesus' name. If you agree with that, please, would you give a real big, loud hallelujah? Hallelujah! Hallelujah indeed, praise God. Father, thank you so much. Now, please, bow your heads with me just for a moment. Every eye closed. Every head bowed, even right there at home or wherever you may be. Close your eyes, please. Listen closely to me. If you have yet to come into a place of relationship with this good, good Father, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. You heard me share, you know, numerous times the contrast between, you know, being in this relationship with a good, good Father and then following kind of the dictates of religion. Don't do that. Come to this place of relationship. And for most people, most of us have been exposed to the religious aspect of things. And quite frankly, you know, it's just made some individuals just really turned off with church and God altogether. And that wasn't God's fault. That was people's fault because we were presenting the wrong thing. But you got a great opportunity today to not step into a religion, but to step into a relationship with the one who loves you like nobody else. So if that's you, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you, whether you're here or whether you're online. I want to introduce you to our King. Now, here's the reality. You have to ask yourself the question. If I were to breathe my last breath this morning, when this service ends, that was my last breath, can I confidently say now that I would go to be in the presence of a good Father? Now, that's not based upon you doing everything perfect and error-free coming in here. That's based upon one thing and one thing alone. Have you surrendered to him by embracing his son, Jesus? So if you've never done that, present or there online, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. Come on now. Let's have an expression of surrender that now also is connected with our declaration of surrender. So our heads are bowed. Eyes are closed in prayer. If that issue, that one invitation speaks to your heart, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. But I need for you to do something for me. Even right there at home, if that's you, let me know by just lifting up one hand under heaven, right there where you are. And I'll be glad to pray for you and with you. God bless you. Thank you. I see a hand there. Even at home right there too. Oh, you can't see me. That's all right. But your good Father can. Go ahead. Raise it up. Praise God. Raise it up. And then type right into the chat. Yeah, I decided. Yeah, that way we'll know. Yeah. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. See those hands. Thank you so much for honoring God today. God loves you. And he just wants to be in relationship with you. So this is what I want to do. I want to pray for you, and I want to pray with you just as I said. So I'm going to ask everyone at home and present here in the auditorium, come on, lift up two hands under heaven like you're under arrest. Say this loud and strong and bold out loud here. Say it, Father God, thank you so much for loving me and giving to me your absolute best. Your son Jesus, who lived for me, died for me, and rose for me. Today, Jesus, I embrace you as my master, as my savior, as my king, as my Lord, as my everything. I turn my back on sin and I turn my worship to you. Thank you for making me your own. Amen. Amen. That's a good place to rejoice right there. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. Somebody rejoice. Come on, somebody lift up your voice. Come on, give me some hearts. Give me some thumbs up right there online as well. Praise God. God is good. Yeah, thank you, Lord. I told you, we feel like God feels. So we get excited about what God gets excited about. And God makes this statement. Jesus makes it in Luke chapter 15, that there is more rejoicing in the presence of heaven over one who turns to God than over 99 who think they don't need anything. God says, I get excited about the one. So let me try that again. Somebody give God glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, we bless you, Lord God. We're excited right along with you. Now listen, if you raise your hand here present or you raise your hand there at home or wherever you may be, I congratulate you, I applaud you, and I want to encourage you to take now some next steps that will help to secure the decision that you've made today as a permanent thing in your life. Now, the first thing is this. When you're exiting, we have a booklet for you. It's called A Fresh Start. It's a 7-day devotional. It will help you in the decision that you've made here today. So take it. It's free. As you're exiting, just ask any of our leaders. They'll be glad to put one into your hands. If you're there, you know, online, and you would like to get a hold of one of the booklets, just text the word DECIDED to the number there, 954-280-2076, and they will send you a link, you know, for the book. So you'll have an electronic copy, and you can go ahead and begin to participate in it as well. That's the first, you know, next step. The second next step is I encourage you to get in on the growth track. Come on now. You now have made a decision like this, then you want to keep growing with God. And that means you got to be intentional. Intentional to grow with him. So please, I want to encourage you to connect with that. You can do it. It's every Sunday, well, first, second, third, and fourth Sundays at noon. We do it by Zoom. It lasts about 30 minutes. There's four particular steps. You can take them in any order, and it will, again, help you to grow. So for that information, again, just text the word GROW to the number that you'll see there on the screen, 954-280-2076, and they'll send you the link to the Zoom. And I'm telling you, you'll have a blessed and wonderful time. I congratulate you again. I applaud you. God is good unto us. We are true to him. We're true to others, and we're true to ourselves. Can someone shout glory? Glory.